Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
And we're going to talk about the Boston Marathon bombing now. We're going to hold those events and a crime that happened 2 years before those events up to the light. This conversation could be upsetting for some listeners, and we want you to know that now.
Initially, I was just investigating a triple homicide that took the life of my friend.
That is one of the first lines in a new documentary that premiered on September 5th from ABC News Studios and local independent journalist Susan Zalkind.
This investigation led me to the unsettling question. If police solved my friend's murder case,
would they have prevented the Boston Marathon bombing?
The documentary is The Murders Before the Marathon, and it is an unsettling question. Here now to talk with us about it, Susan Zalkind, independent journalist and a producer of the documentary. Susan, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
So there's a lot to talk about here, but just for listeners, especially those who may not have been here at the time of the bombing, I'm just going to lay out a little bit of the timeline, Susan. The Boston Marathon bombing takes place April 15th, 2013. There's a multi-day manhunt across the city, people sheltering in place. Ultimately, the death of suspect Tamerlan Tsarnaev during pursuit. Jahar Tsarnaev is taken into custody, later tried and convicted on 30 charges, has been sentenced to death. But you don't start there. You start on September 11th, 2011, and a triple homicide in Waltham that both stunned the region, I remember it when it came out in the paper, and ultimately hasn't been solved. One of the victims in that triple homicide was your friend, Eric Wiseman, who died alongside Brendan Mess and Raphael Tekin. So tell me, start with how this story, this triple homicide, comes into your life and what happens next.
Well, at the time, I was an aspiring crime beat reporter. I had just gotten out of college. I was at New England Cable News as a freelance overnight production assistant. And a strange story, an unusual murder, unlike any murder I've heard of in New England, certainly, crossed the wire. Three men found stabbed to death, their throats slit, marijuana dumped on two of the bodies, and cash left behind. Now, this was horrific. It made me sick, but I was also an ambitious young reporter. I thought this maybe was a great story, and I began to look into it, and then I
lost your sound there, but then you found out.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
So then I found out that one of the victims was my friend, and my life screeched to a halt. You know, I still thought that this was a really unusual murder, unlike any murder I've heard of before. I think about the physicality required to stab three people. And why leave drugs and cash behind? But at the same time, I was also grieving the loss of my friend. I was scared.
So let's pick it up there. And I'm going to be mindful of, I want listeners to understand, your documentary lays out over 3 hours. I'm going to be making massive leaps forward in the story. For our, you know, 15-minute conversation, there's a lot more that we won't touch on. But at the heart of it, so you set out to investigate this as a journalist, and you lay out in the documentary the basic theory that Tamerlan Tsarnaev, the older of the two marathon bombers, along with his friend Ibrahim Tadashev, were responsible for the Waltham murders. Briefly, how do you come to that?
Well, I began to devote my life to investigating this story after the Boston Marathon bombing, after Ibrahim Tadashev, who was an associate of Tamerlan Tsarnaev, was shot to death in his own home after allegedly implicating himself and Tamerlan Tsarnaev in my friend's murder. The problem was that there was no information available about what actually happened. There were no answers coming from anyone in authority about what the connection was or was not regarding this triple homicide in Waltham and the connection to the Boston Marathon bombing. So It's been nearly 10 years since the bombing. It's been longer that I've been investigating this case. There still are no answers from anybody official.
So one of the things you made reference to was the death of Ibrahim Tadashev. And in the documentary, it becomes clear the FBI said that Tadashev had confessed to the murders as a drug deal essentially gone bad. There were redacted documents of his confession. You were able, sometimes people can literally get physically under the redaction and see what's underneath there. And you wind up seeing that Tadashev did in sort confess. Here's a little more from the documentary.
I'm waiting for 10 months.
Then the FBI and the Florida state prosecutor released their reports on Ibrahim Tadashev's death.
And
I was able to remove the redaction from his handwritten confession.
Now, I want to point out, we did reach out to the Waltham police. We also reached out to Middlesex County DA's office looking for comment. We didn't hear back from them by our deadline. So you're now thinking, all right, this leads you then to this tough question. You essentially posit that failure, that you feel them as suspects, the failure to investigate them. How do you get from there to it could have prevented the Boston Marathon bombing?
Well, I had so many questions about why Ibrahim Tadashev was killed. I mean, even though I was able to find his handwritten confession, I confirmed that he had made these statements, but I had questions about what if he was coerced into saying that. I needed to find evidence outside of the documents that I was able to obtain via records request or court documents proving that Ibrahim Tadashev and Tamerlan Tsarnaev did it. This took me years. You said that Middlesex has not responded. I would love them to respond. Right now, where our focus is that we've won an appeal and a records request, and Middlesex is supposed to turn over all of their files in this case to the supervisor of records, and they haven't responded on that point either, though I am really hopeful that they will soon and that will comply with the order and turn over the documents.
But in the documentary, it does seem like you get a little bit from the Middlesex DA. You filed this records request asking them to prove that they were really still investigating the crime. And here's a little bit from the documentary. This is the moment where you get your response from them on that, and you call another producer on the documentary, Matt Cook.
Hello.
Middlesex finally responded to my public records request.
What would they say?
They finally, after years, say on record that Tamerlan Tsarnaev and Ibrahim Tadashev are persons of interest in the murder investigation. And they say, in the past year, we have interviewed a material witness. That's one individual in the past year.
So one of the things that I have to ask you about, Susan, I hear frustration in your voice there. You talked about the fact that one of the victims was your friend. We have strong policies around conflict of interest in journalism, strong values around that. Do you have any concern that you're so close to this story that it was hard to report it objectively?
Well, I mean, that was one of the great things about teaming up with ABC News Studios. And one of my concerns in pursuing this story, it would have been fantastic if somebody else in the media pursued this case like I did. It would have saved me a lot of work and a lot of mental anguish. But the fact of the matter is that no one did. And there are no answers from law enforcement. These answers, this story should not have to come from me. I shouldn't have had to pursue this to get answers about a story involving national security.
So to that point, in 2015... Jahar Tsarnaev goes on trial for the marathon bombings. The triple murder comes up in the sentencing phase because the defense wants it introduced into consideration, suggesting that Tamerlan Tsarnaev had undue influence on his brother. Here's a little bit from Boston Magazine editor-in-chief, former editor-in-chief, Carly Carioli.
Jahar's defense was arguing that they should be able to get evidence that the government had about the Waltham murders. So if the defense could prove that Jahar was under the influence of his older brother, then that might be something that would be the difference between him getting life in prison and being handed a death sentence.
Ultimately, it wasn't allowed. Then in 2020, the First Circuit Court of Appeals says Tsarnaev didn't get a fair trial. Later, the government appeals it to the U.S. Supreme Court, who just back in March basically says he did and ruled 6-3 to reinstate the death penalty for Tsarnaev. Am I understanding that that piece is why you are suggesting that if the triple murder in Waltham in 2011 had been pursued differently, the Boston Marathon bombings might not have happened?
There's so much information in the docu-series essentially proving that case. I think also if you talk about my frustration, this was 8.5 years for Middlesex to release a statement identifying Tamerlan Tsarnaev and Ibrahim Tadashev by name in connection to the Waltham murder case. That's 8.5 years that it's taken for them to at least address that there is a potential connection between the Boston Marathon bomber and this open homicide. Now, you have the story of this complicated path. This case is taken through the bombing trial and up to the Supreme Court. But you also have another issue that if Middlesex admits that Tamerlan Tsarnaev and Ibrahim did it, we have to look at an uncomfortable truth, which is, had Tamerlan Tsarnaev been arrested for murder, that the Boston Marathon bombing may never have happened. Now, I would love to hear more about what their investigation looked like before the bombing and after the bombing, because the opportunity that I think has been missed, we're approaching the 10-year marker of the Boston Marathon bombing, is to at least review what happened.
So, Susan, again, 3-hour documentary, so much here. It feels like a lifetime over the years of the details of this. And, you know, people can dive in further. My last question to you before I let you go, just briefly, there's a book coming. This documentary is out. Will you turn this over now? Is this the end of the line for you, the final salvo, or is this just the beginning?
I think I don't really know how to put this down. We're fighting an active records request appeal. We're hoping for more information from the Middlesex County District's Attorney, and I think now is the time to keep pushing for answers and accountability.
Susan Zollkind is an independent journalist and one of the producers of the new ABC News Studios documentary, The Murders Before the Marathon. The documentary is available to stream on Hulu. Susan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tom Nolan is a former Boston Police Department lieutenant, a longtime criminal justice professor, including at Boston University and Tufts University. He was also in the documentary, The Murders Before the Marathon. He's here in Studio 2. Tom, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So this is a hard conversation. The Boston Marathon bombing sits in our bones so deeply. And you are someone who knows law enforcement but has also criticized law enforcement in analysis over the years. How do Susan's allegations sit with you?
Well, I think the tactics and the strategies that were employed by law enforcement who was assigned to the Middlesex DA's office in going to Florida.
This is for the Ibrahim Tadashev.
This was to interview Tadashev in 2013 following the Marathon bombing. I think there were some missteps there in their travel down there and in information that we don't know that they had in interviewing Tadashev and then interrogating him. Subsequent to that, they informed him of his Miranda rights. At some point, they made some tactical decisions that I would call into question. Number one being agreeing to going to Tadashev's apartment to conduct the interrogation there instead of at a police facility. Now, Tadashev had been at a police facility in Orlando a few weeks earlier and was questioned by some task force members about his possible awareness involvement with the Marathon bombing. They went a second trip some 2 weeks later where they agreed to go to Tadashev's apartment to conduct this interrogation. When they went there, Tadashev asked them to take their shoes off, and an FBI agent and two Massachusetts State Police troopers agreed to do that. And they went in and interrogated him for almost 5 hours. And at the conclusion of that interrogation, Tadashev began to implicate himself and his friend Tamerlan Tsarnaev in the triple homicide in Waltham, and he began to write a confession as to his involvement in the triple homicide. During that time, something occurred where an allegation was made by the one state police officer who was in the apartment with the FBI agent that Tadashev suddenly attacked the FBI agent, and the FBI agent, suffering a wound to his head wound, drew his weapon and fired seven times, striking Tadashev and killing
him. Ultimately killing him. And your sense is that there was a lot that just wasn't standard operating procedure about that entire experience, from
exactly.
the shoes to the being at home to the killing, et cetera. So I want to, and again, we're now talking with a former law enforcement officer and criminal justice professor Tom Nolan about the new documentary, The Murders Before the Marathon. We don't have a lot of time. What I really want to ask you is, The thesis here is a causal chain. Mistakes and failures around the investigation of the Waltham triple murders in 2011 potentially led to the Boston Marathon bombing in 2013 by failure to prevent. Do you find that a plausible argument?
It's a fair question to ask. From the early stages of the investigation following the 2011 triple homicide, the resources that should have been devoted to this investigation, this should have been the number one priority of the Middlesex DA's office, was to investigate and bring to a conclusion, identify suspects in this triple homicide, and that didn't happen. This investigation faded from the spotlight very quickly in a matter of weeks, and it became, for whatever reason, a relatively low priority. There was one state police trooper who was assigned to the DA's office to investigate this. This should have been something that that was given the highest priority and the resources necessary to bring the investigation to a conclusion. That didn't happen. And in the intervening period, fast forward to 2013, we had the Marathon bombings occur. Following that, the law enforcement made a determination that they had some suspects in the triple homicide going back to 2011, and they began to move forward on it only after the bombings had occurred.
So what about the argument that Johar Tsarnaev could have certainly acted alone, that there were two people at the Boston Marathon bombing? Tamerlan Tsarnaev was implicated in 2011, but not Johar.
Yes. So I think it's fair to speculate, and we could go back and forth on this, but the likelihood of the younger Tsarnaev carrying out the bombings himself, I think that's unlikely that would have occurred. I think representations were made during his trial that his older brother was the mastermind behind the bombings, and had he been taken out of commission, had he been arrested for his involvement in the triple homicide, I think a fair question is asked as to whether or not the Marathon bombings would have occurred.
So we have to ask hard questions about painful times. That's really a lot of what, having watched this documentary, that's really a lot of what's going on here, is asking really painful questions about very painful times. You and Susan Zalkind both seem to have come to pretty close to the same conclusions. And my question is, should we embrace those conclusions? What do we do with that now?
Well, what do we do with it? Is it part of the healing process? I think that collectively our psyche here, in not just in the Boston area but in New England, was badly damaged in the aftermath of the bombings. Does this somehow bring us some kind of resolution? I'm not sure. I think what it does is call for some tough questions to be asked, and certainly directed at the Middlesex District Attorney's Office as to why they proceeded in the fashion that they proceeded in investigating these triple homicides. And I think my sense is that had they done what they should have done in following the necessary investigatory steps to bring this investigation to a conclusion, the evidence, the leads were out there for the police to pursue, and they didn't pursue it. And as a result, we're having the conversation we're having today, unfortunately.
All right. And just again to note, we did reach out to the Middlesex DA's office for comment, and they didn't respond to us in time for our deadline. Tom Nolan is former Boston Police Department lieutenant, a longtime criminal justice professor. We've been talking about the documentary, The Murder Before the Marathons. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.